football on Off the Ball.
Some were bought for a system, but Manchester United are trying to bring players in that can play multiple systems so that when a manager leaves, the whole club isn't rocked. And I actually agree with that idea.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Arne Slot gets ready to welcome back Mohamed Salah. Michael Carrick's first game back in charge of Manchester United is a Manchester derby. But why is it pivotal to get the next managerial appointment right? There's more competition for Evan Ferguson at Roma, and should VAR be binned altogether? But first, Liverpool boss Arnold Slot says Mohamed Salah will be back and available for selection next week. He's currently at the Africa Cup of Nations with Egypt, who face Nigeria in tomorrow's third place playoff. Slot hopes Salah could be ready to play against Marseille in the Champions League on Wednesday night.
Even if I had 15 attackers, I still would have been happy if he would have come back. But that's not our current situation. Happy to have him back after an important game that he still has to play.
Chelsea's new boss, Lemar Senior, says one of his first jobs at the club has been to remind players about hygiene standards.
Club doctors are doing everything they can to contain what looks to be a virus, because some members of our staff have gone down as well. Had a meeting today with the players about washing your hands, the basics, which is really important, and hopefully we can contain it.
Liam Delap and Jamie Gittins both missed Wednesday night's cup match against Arsenal due to illness. Chelsea take on Brentford at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League tomorrow. Michael Carrick will be in front of the media today for the first time since taking charge of Manchester United earlier this week. He faces a Manchester derby at Old Trafford tomorrow at lunchtime. And on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Mark Critchley and Sam Lee of The Athletic joined Colin Buhig and Keith Tracy to look ahead to tomorrow's game. And Critchley explained why United have to take their time to get the next managerial appointment spot on.
You know, I think it's strange. The fact that United wouldn't be interested in Xavi Alonso because he used to play for Liverpool. I don't think if say Arsenal needed a manager, wouldn't put Arsenal off. If Manchester City needed a manager, wouldn't put them off. Why would it put Manchester United off, the fact that he's an ex-Liverpool player?
Do you think it does?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. I think if Xavi Alonso wasn't an ex-Liverpool player, I think he'd be linked heavily with United.
I don't know if it does or doesn't at this stage, I would say. But I think that it does. That connection, obviously, maybe Xabi Alonso wouldn't be interested in it for that reason as well. I think it is obviously a little bit of a barrier there. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't.
I think it's a little bit more of a stumbling block for United fans. Like, I think Arsenal fans would be prepared to just go, no problem, he used to play for Liverpool, but give him a shot as a manager, whereas United are just, no, not happening, no go.
Well, I think as it stands right now, you know, they've brought in the interim, and there was three people for that job, which was Carrick, Solskjaer and Ruud van Nistelrooy. Mm-hmm. All ex-United players, everyone noticed. Basically, the only criteria was that is, have you played for United in the last 20 years, and do you have a bit of coaching experience? And then you're through the door. But there was, I think there's a reason for that, which is that they don't want somebody walking into the club in the middle of the season. I remember how it went with Amorim walking in the middle of the season. Remember how it went with Ranić into an interim role in the middle of the season. They don't want somebody coming in who's going to look around the building and say, oh, what's going on here? Now, I accept that maybe you should sort out what's going on in the building to make that not a problem. If everything going on in the building was fine, people wouldn't have that shock value of walking inside. But they want to make sure that it's somebody who comes in and understands what they're operating with and what they're dealing with at Carrington every day. I think from that perspective, it's fair to, you know, go down that route for the interim. And I think it's actually right to go down the route of an interim this time as well, for those mid-season problems that we're talking about before, but also because the market for managers in the summer is going to be far more open than it is right now. I think this is clear. If you're looking at the Premier League, you've got Oliver Glasner, Andoni Iraola, their contracts are up, Marco Silva as well. He was in talks for the job around when Ten Hag almost got sacked around the FA Cup final in 2024. Then you've also got all the managers who will be leaving positions at the World Cup, and they're highly renowned, big reputation managers: Thomas Tuchel, Julian Nagelsmann, Carlo Ancelotti, Mauricio Pochettino, those types of names. You know, Alonso happened after the fact. He was sacked by Real Madrid, like, was it earlier this week? I don't know. I've lost all track of time over this.
Yeah.
Over this managerial period.
Yeah.
so factoring that in, I don't think was part of their equation. There will be there's Maresca as well, right? But who knows about the situation? Whether, you know, maybe there's some sort of gardening leave or compensation package or something that is a barrier to that. I don't know. Clearly, the managerial market in the summer is going to be far more open, and I think from that perspective, it makes sense. And I actually agree with United. Even if Carrick doesn't turn things around,
right?
They need to get this right, and so it makes sense to take time on that.
And remember, to hear more conversations like that, you can do so every weekday morning on Off the Ball Breakfast from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or on YouTube. Dutch international Daniel Malen has joined Roma from Aston Villa after just 1 year in the Premier League. Villa say the deal is for an undisclosed fee, but Roma's statement says it's a loan with an option to buy in the summer. The 26-year-old scored 10 goals in 46 games for Villa after joining from Borussia Dortmund in January 2025. Malen has scored 7 goals for Unai Emery's side this season. He struggled for regular game time, though, making just 5 league starts and 21 appearances this campaign. Roma, who are currently 5th in Serie A, take on Torino on Sunday away from home. Evan Ferguson is in contention to play in that game. He missed the midweek cup loss against the same opposition due to his back injury. Meanwhile, Villa want to seal a permanent deal for England striker Tammy Abraham, who's currently on loan at Besiktas from Roma. The 28-year-old spent the 2018-19 season on loan with Villa and helped them get promotion to the Premier League. Villa could move for Real Madrid and Spain midfielder Dani Ceballos after missing out on signing Conor Gallagher. Some of the other transfer stories doing the rounds today. Juventus have made an inquiry about signing France striker Jean-Philippe Mateta from Crystal Palace this month as a long-term replacement for Serbia international Dusan Vlahovic. Chelsea want to bring in a defender this window, with Bournemouth's Marcus Senesi among several targets. The Argentine's out of contract in the summer, so he'd be available on a free transfer. He won't sign a new deal with Bournemouth. Valencia have approached Brentford about the availability of 28-year-old Nigeria midfielder Frank Onyeka. West Ham look set to miss out on Toulouse defender Charlie Cresswell after Wolfsburg submitted a bid of €18 million for the English defender, who won back-to-back European under-21 championships. Crystal Palace and Brighton are competing with Celtic and Norwich for Dundalk teenage defender Vinnie Leonard. Ireland striker Amber Barrett has signed for French top-flight club Strasbourg. The Donegal woman's agreed a deal until the summer of 2028. Barrett makes the move from Standard Liège, who she joined in 2023 and scored 22 goals in 33 games in Belgium. West Ham boss Nuno Espirito Santo says the club has to solve the Lucas Paqueta situation as soon as possible. The Brazilian playmaker is pushing for a return home and has been strongly linked with a move to Flamengo. With West Ham in the relegation zone, Nuno says the club can't afford to lose key players at such a critical time.
I think it's a situation that we have to solve. All of us at the club have to solve. We always want our best players to be involved, and Lucas is one of our best players. So let's try to solve the situation.
Tottenham boss Thomas Frank admits he'd love to strengthen their attacking options during this transfer window. Brazilian forward Richarlison's the latest player to be ruled out with a hamstring injury for 7 weeks.
It is what it is. We need to deal with what we have. But of course, it's we are in the market, as I said many times, to see if we can improve the squad. But it needs to be something that we improve the squad short and long term.
Thomas Frank is hopeful Lucas Bergvall will be fit enough to play against West Ham tomorrow. Well, new signing Conor Gallagher could make his debut after his move from Atletico Madrid. Burnley boss Scott Parker says the club's owners are open to boosting the squad this month in a bid to help them avoid relegation. Burnley are 8 points from safety ahead of tomorrow's game away to champions Liverpool.
Of course, there's a willingness there from owners. There's a willingness from everyone to try and add some quality or add something to this group. What can help us? But we'll see what pans out over the next couple of weeks. It's always a tough window, this window, but we're active to try and do something.
Bohemians have signed FC Cincinnati goalkeeper Paul Walters on a season-long loan. 21-year-old American joins after the departure of James Talbot and is expected to serve as a backup to first-choice Kasper Sharatska. Walters has been the regular keeper for the Cincinnati second team for the last 3 seasons. Last night, Barcelona saw off second-tier leaders Racing Santander 2-0 to advance to the quarterfinals of the Copa del Rey. While in Serie A, AC Milan moved back within 3 points of leaders Inter with a 3-1 win away to Como. Adrian Rabiot scored twice in the second half. Bologna came from behind to win 3-2 away to Verona. Middlesbrough boss Kim Hellberg says it's only a matter of time before the club is back in the Premier League. They're second in the Championship ahead of tonight's game against West Brom. It's their ninth season in the second tier, but Hellberg says he's desperate to take them back to the top.
The reason why I'm here, the reason why I'm trying to do everything I can to get Middlesbrough to the Premier League, that's been my aim since I signed this year or the next year. That's the thing. But I think the club is working as hard as ever possible to get there.
Last night in the football show, sports writer and broadcaster Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan. And in a very bad week for VAR, Dion says he feels it should be binned completely.
You think there might be a slight improvement in the implementation of this?
Yeah, I can see one argument for it. Like the problem is, and you touched upon it there, like when you get into a VAR conversation, like the conversation you want to have is just get rid of it. Just stop it. And I was actually wondering if the FA Cup is going to have, could have some sort of resurgence if they don't have VAR and people start enjoying this sort of authentic football, watching the games last weekend. But because when you start talking about various things, you always end up crashing up against this sense, like just the dispiriting nature of it, this engagement again with the corporate class who kind of, you know, the PGMOL statements about why decisions were made and this explanations and all this management speak. And it's just, it's soul destroying. So when you start engaging with it and saying, well, what about this idea? Or what about doing this? It's kind of, you know, you almost, like they've won. Like they're always just, they've won the war. And it's like, okay, well, would you maybe give us this little bit of sugar? And I don't, like, I see all the arguments against Wenger's daylight because, you know, it doesn't really change. You're always going to have a millimetre, there's always going to be a point where you're offside or not offside. And actually the unintended consequence of this is that you could actually find teams no longer, teams will defend so deep because you can't actually defend offside, you can't defend offside properly if people have to be a daylight between you. So you'll end up just, it will make football more boring and more defensive. So that's one, that's a very strong reason not to adopt it. The one thing I do think is those situations where players, and it happened in the West Ham Nottingham Forest game a couple of weeks ago, where there's an offside given, not for the from when the goal was scored, but from the build-up play. And you have this awful thing now in VAR where, you know, they to go back through the play to see if there's any reason to disallow the goal. Which is kind of wrong in itself, but they found this offside. The play, you know, I think it was Somerville who was just fractionally offside in the classic way, but he'd taken the ball with his back to goal. This is never a situation which offside was intended for. This is not what offside was brought in for. This is not in any way the correct utilization of the offside law as it is written, or as was written, or has ever been written. But here it is now. He's facing the back to goal. He links up play, and the play continues, and he scores a goal from an onside position, but it's given offside. Now, in those situations, that player might know if the daylight rule was there. He might know I'm offside if I'm in daylight. If I take the ball, I'm offside here. So he won't take the ball, or he'll get into that position. So you might. I'm kind of, you know, it's so despairing. Even talking about it, you end up just getting despairing. He might not do that. So there's a good, that's some situation where it might be helpful. But, you know, to be honest, I think with offside, I honestly feel the thing to do is actually to stop using the lines completely. Just because the reason we use the lines in offside and you know, it's clear and obvious in other areas is because this is a matter of fact. It's not opinion whether someone's offside. We can draw the lines and we can prove it. Now, everything these days is kind of a matter of opinion. You saw the Florian Wirtz goal against Fulham where they made the lines bigger, which made him onside. If they'd been smaller, he would have been offside. So why not just say, in these situations, look at it. If he's offside, he's offside. Just use your judgment on it. If we have to have VAR, just do that. Don't draw any lines. Just say if he's obviously offside. Let's forget about it being fact. Let's just accept that facts are over. And it's a bit like Saipan the movie. We're dealing in truth, not facts. and you just say, what's the truth of this situation? Does he look offside? No, yes, and go on with it like that. But again, it's a waste of energy talking about this one because they're not going to do that. It's going to get more and more advanced in the other direction and more precise and more, but there'll be more and more time lost and it's just a waste of time.
And if you want to hear that back or any of our football coverage throughout the week, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. And you can become a member and sign up on offtheball.com/join. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. We'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.